I have a gift of being planted in a local church. And so that means like I'm talking with the people that are in our congregation. I know where they're at personally and spiritually. And I think that that is always really important information. Like, I want to know where people are struggling and where people are finding victory. And so I think that crafting set lists that have that in touch feeling with where your congregation is at is so important.
I don't know. Nice to meet you. My name is Matt. And I'm with CCLI and Loop Community.
Thank you for what you guys do.
Absolutely. Thanks for what you're doing. And thanks for taking the time to do this, have this conversation.
My pleasure.
Bella, I think it'd be awesome for you just to give an overview, just give an introduction to how you started leading worship, how you got involved in church ministry.
When I was 15 years old, I got saved at a summer camp during a worship service. And it just completely changed my life. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and just like learning about the Lord and the gift that we have to be able to sing and express our love and adoration for God through song, it really inspired me. And I feel like it was God's kindness to let me find him in that way.
How did you get invited to the summer camp?
My youth pastor sponsored me. So I had been going to church actually for a whole year. And just growing up in a non-Christian home, I didn't really know if it was all real, honestly. And I didn't really understand it. And I loved the music. And so I attended for a whole year. And then when I got to a summer camp, that's where I got saved.
I just always find it fascinating how those summer camps, those winter camps, the fall retreats, the youth like weekends can be so life-changing and literally change the course of someone's entire life. And it happens, you know, when they're 15 years old, 14 years old, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so important that I feel like students are exposed and have that experience.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. So I interrupted you. Sorry. So you got going there.
Yeah. So I kind of got saved at that summer camp and really felt like the Lord speak to me about just like using my voice. And that was what he had created me for. And that was what he had kind of like given me the ability to sing for, was to use that for his glory. And so I started leading worship in our youth ministry and then on Sundays, and ended up doing Bible college and did like worship ministry as my kind of focus when I did Bible college. And we were so lucky to be a part of a church that had such incredible worship leaders and songwriters. And so we got to learn up close and personal, kind of like from some really great experienced people.
Yeah. Did you go to Hillsong Bible College?
Yeah. Hillsong? Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you were learning from like the best, songwriters. That's amazing.
Yeah. We were very lucky.
What album was happening in that time period when you think about like Hillsong, like album or Hillsong songs? Do you remember?
Yeah. When I really started like leading, it was a lot of the Let There Be Light album, like when I started leading on Sundays, but I was in youth ministry. So songs like Sinking Deep and End of Days and like those kind of young and free songs were the songs where like that was when I got saved, like that kind of time.
Yeah, that's amazing. And did you actually start writing songs while you were there in the Bible college? Like, how did that look?
Yeah, I did. I was honestly mostly just like leading worship and didn't really start really getting into writing Christian music or worship music until 2022. So when I was in Australia, I ended up kind of like working in the pop music space for a little while.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of crazy, but it was awesome because now I get to do what I'm really passionate about, which is writing music for the church.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so tell us about this, because this is a unique experience. You won The Voice in Australia in 2021. Like, tell us about what that whole experience was like and like how you even like got on that show and then what it was like to actually be on it.
Yeah. I mean, I was like working at my church at that time and teaching singing actually at church at the time, and just felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit to apply for the show, which is crazy because all I ever really wanted to do was just like lead worship and you know, work in a local church. And so I went through that whole process and ended up coming out the other side of it and winning the show, and then doing like a period of 2 or 3 years where I was doing pop music full time while still like serving at a local church. But it's funny how God kind of like takes you around in full circle moments. And now kind of because of that, I get to be here working on this project now. And
Yeah. So your new music is For the House EP. Tell us about For the House.
I really believe in equipping the local church with biblical scriptural songs to sing, and you know, leading worship is my like greatest joy and passion. So this project really is for local churches in all different formats and expressions and denominations. And yeah, I wanted it to feel really accessible, but also like encouraging and exciting for local churches to kind of like take hold and make their own. And yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is your favorite song from the album? I know that's like asking what your favorite child is, but like, is there a song in there that you really hope that worship leaders listen to and kind of grasp onto?
Yeah, I think that is a really hard question. Yeah. Your Church, which is track one, that song has been like the greatest tension for me. So I feel like that's probably my favorite, in that I feel like sometimes it's easy to lose track of what the bride really should mean to us as Christians, and like how seriously we should take the commission that God gives us to build his church. And so that's probably the one that I'm most like feel the most passion for.
Yeah. Was this recorded live in the studio?
No, it was studio, but we've just recorded some live versions, which I'm really excited for, because that is what the songs were made for. But my husband produced it.
Awesome. Well, you said you're really passionate about, you know, leading songs in the local church, planning worship for a local church. I want to talk about just planning worship and how do we do that with intention and purpose. You know, a lot of worship leaders, it's, you know, they're in the 7-day cycle. Every 7 days, a Sunday rolls around and you got to put together a set. And it can be so easy to just get into doing the same songs over and over and over, you know, kind of doing the same order of songs, maybe using the same scriptures or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of just get into like, you can kind of get lazy sometimes and reusing sets, or and you have to keep it fresh though every Sunday. So there's a challenge there. But how do you go beyond just like planning sets to actually planning with intention to make it, you know, where it's a journey that you're taking your congregation on? Are there any tips that you have or things that you've experienced in planning worship with intention?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I have a gift of being planted in a local church. And so that means like I'm talking with the people that are in our congregation. I know where they're at personally and spiritually, and just kind of like where they're all at in their stages of life. And I think that is always really important information. Like I want to know where people are struggling and where people are finding victory. And like, I think there's obviously unity commands a blessing. And so I think that crafting set lists that have kind of that in touch feeling with what, where your congregation is, that is so important. So that's something I always really like to consider. And then also making sure that, I guess the upbringing that we had, I learned some really valuable lessons from worship leaders that had been leading for a lot longer than me, just about like how incredibly important it is to point people straight to Jesus. And like, we have opportunities and moments in set lists to invite people into, moments of reflection and testimony. But for me, like starting vertical and ending vertical is so important. I want people to be encouraged and empowered and excited to encounter the presence of God and give him glory kind of all through that set. So I kind of like to sort of craft like a journey of, you know, like high praise at the beginning and then a moment of reflection and testimony and making sure that we really point people's eyes back to Jesus really vertically at the end of that kind of set.
I used to work for a pastor who talked about, you know, how you're taking people on a journey. And we used to have this system called the 1-5 system, where we had like basically five songs in the set. But like the first song, the ones were like the songs where we're like gathering people. We're saying like, hey, you know, hey, you guys out in the lobby, like come and worship. And it was those types of songs that had language like that.
Yeah, invitational for sure.
Invitational, like welcome, you know, welcome to church. We're glad you're here kind of songs. Let's do it. Let's worship. And then twos are like a step to three, which threes were songs that are like testimonial, which I love what you said that too, like testimonial moments in the middle of a set where like, these are songs that like talk about like, let's talk about like what God has done for us.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like language in the song that's like we, you know, more of like, what God has done for us. And then, you know, fours are a journey to five, which like fours and fives are more vertical, where you start getting songs that are like completely about God. There's no I, there's no we in the song.
Yeah.
It's only like you and totally vertical songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of like that journey of that you're taking on. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Although you said starting with vertical and ending with vertical, which is interesting. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think like I want to make sure that people know why we're in church. And as much as, you know, the format of service that we're at right now, it's like we have two acoustic players, if we're lucky, and a keys player and a couple of like vocalists. And so, you know, we don't really have tracks or like anything to kind of like support that moment where we're kind of saying like, hey, is everyone paying attention? And so like I really find what's effective for our service is like pointing people directly to Jesus and like having that kind of like vertical moment of of praise at the beginning of a service, just to make sure that people are like, hey, we're here and we're engaged because God deserves the honor of our attention and our worship and our adoration. And that's kind of like what works best for our format.
Are there any songs that you can think of that work really great for a one, like an opener song in that regard? Because I was thinking about like, so a song that's totally vertical is like Revelation song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. But that song might be really hard to start with, I would think. But do you have some other song ideas that would be really great for like an opening one?
Yeah, I mean, we've done like, because of our format, we have a lot of flexibility. We don't run click right now. And so we open with things that are like super well known, and it can sometimes be hymnal. So like sometimes we've started with something like How Great Thou Art or Worthy of It All or Holy Forever or something that really does, even though it kind of BPM wise normally would sit in that center of a service or at the end of the service, we're able to kind of like cater our arrangement to something that's a little bit more appropriate for that format.
That, yeah, that makes sense. So did I hear you say that you don't run click right now? What
that's
do you mean?
True. Yeah.
You I mean, we, on the Loop Community podcast, and you're telling me you guys don't run click. All right.
Yeah.
So I love this. Tell me, what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean? You used to use click and you don't anymore? What's going on?
So because of our format right now, sometimes we struggle with getting musicians kind of rostered, and we are a bump in and a bump out church. And so, sometimes we use tracks and run click, but most of the time what we're having to do is kind of like cater those formats and use the stems that we have to sort of recreate what we need in a service. And then when we get the privilege of using them, we do use them, but it's kind of Wild West out here for
us. How are you using? Yeah, it's amazing. So how are you using stems without a click?
Yeah, so it's like sometimes we can pull those pad sounds and things like that that are like running in tracks and use those and repurpose them in a way that's effective. But it, obviously when we're using stems that are to the BPM, we need to use.
And you're on a click.
The click. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess what I'm wondering is like, is there a philosophical reason at all why you're not using click?
No, or it's just not at all. It's really just because of our format right now. Yeah, and I mean, I guess I think I count it as such a blessing when we are able to use tracks, and I get to go and lead at other churches and other ministries, and having access to that is such a gift. But I think that that was what was exciting about writing this project. I wanted to make sure that whatever access to resource any church kind of had, they were able to use these songs in a way that would be effective for their service.
Yeah, totally. So when I lead worship, I use a click, and I've used the click probably for 15 years, 20 years.
Oh, this is the first church I've ever been at where we haven't. So
yeah, but I will say I grew up in a church where we didn't use click at all. I mean, my dad was a pastor of a vineyard church. We didn't have, I mean, click was not a thing.
Yeah.
And I will say though that there are times even now, like when we'll do a song in a set that does not have a click, and it really is kind of a beautiful thing because you aren't stuck to a track. Like you can really flow. And I miss that. You know, I was even just this past Sunday, I was leading worship at a church and the whole set, I didn't plan the set at all. Like they contracted me in to come in and lead, and they picked all the songs, and like the worship set was like 22 minutes long. And it was however long that Ableton set was.
Yeah.
We sounded great. It flowed perfectly, but there was no room for like any sort of flowing or like any sort of, hey, like, let's just sing that chorus one more time. Like just the voice. There was no room for that. I couldn't do that. I didn't feel like I had the freedom to do it. Because, you know, it's not my church.
Yeah, you're coming. Totally.
I was coming in and leading. But it was an interesting feeling of like, oh man, sometimes I just wish I could get off the track and just flow and lead.
The biggest conversation, I guess, that and what I was so grateful for is when I kind of started leading, tracks were really kind of coming in as a resource that we could use. And I think that I feel grateful that the language that was always used around tracks was that they like help serve us, we don't serve them. And so it's like, these are resources that are great opportunities for us to be able to do something that maybe we wouldn't be able to achieve without it. But also it's like the second that our focus or our attention is on, oh, I have to follow this format because that's what's put into this service, and it's not necessarily like what I believe really serves the service best, I feel like that's where we need to kind of reassess.
Yeah, there has to be a balance, because like there's something to be said about taking the time ahead of time to really plan and be thoughtful about how a set flows and how the transitions go. But you have to still be able to like control the tracks. We always say at Loop Community, like, you control the tracks, don't let the tracks control you, which is actually why we create all these like foot controllers like this, you know, where we give the worship leader control with their feet to control the tracks. So, hey, I you want to do another chorus? You press the chorus button and it does another chorus.
That is. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So cool.
So when planning though, like intentional worship sets, I guess it kind of comes back to the question of like, and we might have to come back to even just fundamentals of like, why should a worship leader even care about that? Like, why, you know, we're kind of saying that, listen, it's not as easy as just like looking at the top 10 CCLI songs and picking three that you like and sticking them together. Like, it's not that simple. It shouldn't be that simple, right? There has to be some thought put into it. And I guess my question is like, what do we believe that God wants to form in our church through our worship gatherings? As worship leaders, like, what is our desire of like what God wants to do and form in the people in our church through the worship sets that we plan? Like, when you're trying to intentionally plan a worship set, what are you thinking about?
I just feel like, you know, getting to lead worship is such a privilege. And, you know, if I was preaching on a Sunday morning, I would be prayerfully preparing. I would be making sure that I'm serving the vision of where our church is at right now. I'm being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I'm like all of these things. And I think because there is almost like a formula or a prescribed time slot or even access, right, to so many incredible resources, we can lean on those rather than leaning on the understanding that, you know, we really are pastoring the church in that moment where we're teaching about what worship really is. And I think, like, for example, you know, that devotional moment or testimony moment in the middle of a set, the reason that I think that's so important is because I want my congregation to learn that, like, the quiet place and the secret place is something that's easily accessible, and it's not hard and it's not confusing. And so even for the last 3 months, like in our church service, I've been saying like, hey, this is the scripture around the quiet place and the secret place. Like, let's practice that in this service right now. And let's take that into our day-to-day lives. Let's not just have this kind of like moment pass us by, but let's use it as an opportunity for learning and growth and greater understanding. And so, I think when I'm crafting sets, like as a pastor, as a worship pastor, as a creative pastor, and someone that's pastoring the room, it's like they are really my priorities, making sure that people can engage and understand, and there's scripture that's unifying us and not just, you know, my opinion or my preference.
I love using scripture in worship, and not just like reading. Not, I mean, it's amazing to like read a scripture before you set up a song, you know, that ties in. But I think it's even more powerful when you have the congregation read scripture. So like one thing, an element that I love throwing into a worship set, you know, not every week, but is like a scripture reading where like before the song, like let's just say we're doing Same God, right? And we're talking about like counting on the, you know, oh God, my God, I need you. I'm like, hey, you know, before we sing the song, I want everybody to pull out their Bible. I hope you brought your Bible to church and find a scripture that talks about a promise of God. What's a promise that God has made? And I want you to find one. And as we sing the song, I want you to go ahead right now and line up at this microphone in the front. Line up. We're going to have 10 people. And after we're done singing the song, we're going to hear the promises of God. And so we sing the song, you know, gives people about a song to find a scripture. Then people line up. And after the song, we like, all right. And we let people read scripture to talk about. Or like before, in the name of Jesus, like find, you know, before we sing the song in the name of Jesus, find a scripture that talks about the name of Jesus. And like, it is so powerful hearing the congregation read God's word over one another and then sing about it.
Yeah. And I think that that's where the unity comes in, right? That's what I find so exciting. One of the songs on my project, it's called Forever and Amen. And the chorus of it is Revelation 7 verse 12, like exactly quoted. That's like what the chorus is. And so like it's been such a gift, like teaching our congregation like that scripture, and then they're singing it. And now I know that they're like walking home knowing that they're unified under this scripture, like as the body, and they can like apply that revelation to their own life. And it's just straight scripture. Like no one can kind of argue with that, you know, and that's great. Not distracting. It's truth. That's So
scripture is an important element. Are there any other creative elements that you've seen people add to a worship set that's not just singing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the way that we kind of like format on a Sunday is can be really exciting and a really effective tool. We try to change up our format sometimes and make sure that things are feeling fresh and exciting, and kind of like what we were talking about with the tracks and creating space. Like there are mornings where we do extended worship and we leave intentional space, and we might have a different setup, or like it might look different visually. And sometimes that can help kind of do like a reset for people. Yeah, they're kind of the main things that we do to sort of change it up.
That is another benefit of using tracks, is that you can really plan even like song mashups or medleys.
Totally.
And that's actually a feature we just launched in our Prime app at Loop Community, where you can take two songs and mash them up.
And put the, amazing. So cool. Such a great resource.
There's a million things you could do with that to just kind of create different expressions of worship and tying different songs. What about like songs, like new songs? How often are you introducing new songs at your church?
Yeah, I think we probably introduce like two new songs a month. Or 2 to 4 new songs a month. Obviously, like when I'm crafting a set list, I want to make sure that people are comfortable before and after those songs. And setting up the songs well, you know, is so important. Yeah. I think I went and led recently at a church in Phoenix, and praise God, we could use tracks and click and all of those things to help like set up a song to be super strong and people to feel like it's supported. I think twice to three times a month we're introducing a new song.
Yeah. And some churches do have like cultures where they're just more open to brand new songs.
Totally.
You know, some churches just want to sing the same songs over and over and over. And some are like, no, give us a new song every week.
Totally. And I think that there's so much power in like singing a new song, right? It's scriptural, not only for us to prophetically sing to the Lord, but there's incredible writers and artists and people that are pioneering the front line of what the church is really singing. And so I want our church to be unified under the greater body in that, and also make sure that, it's appropriate for where our services are at.
What do you think is one of the biggest challenges of being a worship pastor or a worship leader?
If I'm super, super honest, I think the tension of pastoring and supporting people as individuals and where they're at in their walk with God and where they're at just like emotionally and physically, and supporting them in a way that allows them to serve and kind of like give of themselves like they want to, but also make sure that like I'm prioritizing the pastoral care and like health and of my team and of my people. And I think being as honest as we possibly can, you know, I think a lot of the time rostering can feel like a reward or punishment system, which is just devastating and can cause insecurity and all of those things. And so I think, just being as honest as humanly possible, having those hard conversations, having those great conversations, and like celebrating people and their journeys, and having serving in a local church be something that's so important, but also wanting to pastorally care for them more than what they do for us is attention that we always.
I'm not surprised you say that, because I was actually thinking the same thing. I think the music part of it is easy. I mean, like if you're a musician and you like love singing and you love playing an instrument, the music part of it is easy. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
I think it's the people. And that like pastoring and leading people is a challenge, because people are coming from so many different backgrounds Yeah. People are carrying stuff. Like people also have like stories and there's other things going on in their life than just the set list that you're sending them every Thursday for practice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So like we might think that that's like the most important thing because we're like, hey, we put the set list together. Like here's the set, like here's the tracks, here's the charts, like practice at home.
Yeah.
But that's actually not like the most important thing happening in their lives.
Yeah. And totally. 100%.
Yeah. And so we can kind of forget that. And I think being intentional at leading and loving people where they're at. And, you know, when they're showing up late to practice every week, you know, not just laying into them on that, but like knowing that there's something else there.
Yeah. What I've been thinking about so much, or like, that's such a good example, right? Because that's something that, you know, I'm sure as creative pastors, most of us have dealt with someone who is late. I actually like had a conversation with someone lately that kind of has that issue, and that's something that affects them in every area of their life, right? It's not just that they're late on a Sunday. It's like, and figuring out the layers of that, where that comes from. And I think it's so important.
I know that can be the hardest part, and I think that's probably where we need to be spending most of our time, actually, because that is what's most important too. Like, listen, like at the end of all this, you can't take your computer with you. You can't take your tracks with you. You can't take your hardware, your guitar. You're not going to take your little set lists and all that thing.
Yeah.
But you can take people. In the end, you can take people. You can't take all this other stuff, but you can take people.
Yeah.
And
so
I think I always encourage worship leaders, like, how much time are you spending, you know, staring into your computer at Planning Center or an Excel spreadsheet or tracks? Mm. Maybe let's try to like readjust that. So you're spending more time looking into the eyes of your bass player.
Totally.
Of your drummer.
Yeah.
And turn into them, because people are what matter. People more than the music. So
and that's where the unity and the blessing comes. It's like, you know, there are a few families in our church right now where they're struggling with infertility, right? And so that's something that we're praying for every week as a team, praying for in service. And in our set lists, there are testimony songs that like speak specifically to that, because we want to pastor and care for in every way and area, you know, these people in our congregation.
Bella, you know, it's funny because when I first saw your name, I saw Bella Taylor Swift. I was like, what?
Oh, no.
Taylor Swift. Do you ever get that?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. All the time. All the time.
So it's Bella Taylor Smith. And I'm so happy for you with your new music and also the music you've been doing with Commons. So if anybody also has not heard the Commons music, which it's spelled C-X-M-M-X-N-S.
Yes. That's right.
Ben Fielding, Ruben Morgan, like you were on multiple songs on that.
Yeah.
Right. And on a live album, actually.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes. We were in Manila. We went to the Philippines and to Singapore and got to sing all of the, you know, favorite songs that shaped so many of our lives and some new ones, which is so beautiful and amazing.
Yeah, it's powerful. So anyways, I mean, you've got your new EP out for the house.
Yes.
We've got all the tracks and we have all the charts up at Song Select, CCLI and Loop Community. So worship leaders, go get it and support Bella Taylor Smith. Bella, thanks for taking the time to have this conversation, because this is, you know, these are some of the challenges that worship leaders face. And I like to dive right into those topics and just talk real. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, great conversation with Bella Taylor Smith. Go ahead and type down in the comments, what is one thing that you do to be intentional with your worship planning? Hit subscribe and like button to stay tuned for future Worship Field shows.